Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time to answer questions you sent in, mailed in, emailed in. And there's a ton of them, so we try to pick out the ones that seem to be the most pertinent. And so they're all important, but we're trying to pick ones where it's kind of the same type of questions you're asking. So we've got a great list today, so let's jump in and see what we can do, Angel.
Joe, I just want to thank you for all the videos you post on Facebook and YouTube. The way you teach and explain the Word of God makes me feel like I'm finally getting it. But I do ask your help with my question about tithing. I always hear my pastor saying that it's important, but I'm struggling to give my 10% due to fear about not being able to pay my bills. Money has been tight in the pandemic, and I don't want to be cash poor.
Well, money's been tight since the Garden of Eden. There's never been a time when money wasn't tight. I remember when gasoline was 25 cents a gallon, it jumped to $1.30 a gallon in one day because of the embargo. So, and it's never going down. It's never going to get cheaper. But God said, it's all of our need, according to the rich club of Christ Jesus. Well, part of that is the tithe. And I struggled the same way. I'm not tithed. I remember being on our church staff and they're passing the bucket. I'm on the front row because I'm on church staff, this big church. The bucket's coming down. So I've got my tithe check written out. I remember put that check in that bucket. It went by, and here's what I said in my heart. I said, Lord, that was my truck tire money. I'm driving on 4 ball tires. I'm living way out in the country. You better keep those tires up for the next month till I can get those tires next month. That was my truck tire money. I thought, well, you know, and I later learned when I started church studying about tithing, I might as well put that check in the toilet and flush it down because they didn't get anything behind it. It's not the check in the bucket. It's the faith behind the check in the bucket. When you get 5 cents, 2%, 3%, 10%, doesn't matter. It's the faith behind it. And so I remember we started tithing. We couldn't give just, we find change in the couch, in the truck seat. What are you doing? Trying to learn how to give. I'm giving what I can. And we've been there. I can't afford to give. Well, I can't afford to not give. That's the whole purpose of tithing. You know, God said, Malachi, bring the tithe to the storehouse. Now, I don't want to get too long here, so bump my knee, Angel. The problem with this was they had left God. They went whoring after other idols and other gods. Well, now they're broke, beat up, sick, dying. And I thought, you know, it wasn't so bad with God. Man, we can go back. So they write the prophet, hey, can we come back to God? And the prophet says, sure, God's waiting on you. He loves you. And they said, well, how do we return? And the first thing he said was, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. No, we're not talking about money. We're talking about getting back to God. Well, that's how you get back to God. Bring your tithe because your heart's not after God. Your heart's after your money. But you bring that 10% and your heart will follow. It'll follow that check. And so I tell today, I can't afford to not tithe because the tithing gets me out from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is this whole planet. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired, evicted, kids start killing each other. The planet's under a curse. Well, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law by the blood of Jesus. But God said, bring you the tithe in the storehouse and I'll bless everything you set your hand to. Well, I need that to happen. There's still a devil. He still tries to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm not under him anymore. And I have to use my faith with that. Father, the Bible says, if I resist the devil, he'll flee. So financially, I'm not under a curse. I don't care what the pay scale says. I don't care what the stock market is doing. I don't belong to this planet. I've been taken out from under the kingdom of the devil. I'm in God's kingdom now. I'm behind enemy lines. I got armor on, and I'm blessed and highly favored. Whatever I touch is going to prosper. My seed will be mighty upon this planet. They're promises. So I have to pray them and say them and sing them and remind myself, but I cannot afford to not tithe. You say, what is it? Are you buying God off? No, it's the covenant. Listen, you bring that 10% and that 90% will get you anywhere you need to go. I promise you, God will bless your socks off. So that's just a long, short sermon.
Well, plus on a very practical side of things, you know, we get a lot of benefits from going to church. We get encouraged.
Your faith built up.
Sometimes you get vacation Bible school. Your kids go to summer camp.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different things that would not be available were it not for people that tithe. And it's sad, really, a small percentage of people that go to church and get the benefits from it give to tithe and honor God. So it's on a practical level too. I mean, you don't go in and eat a hamburger and not pay for it.
No.
So, I mean, it's just on a practical thing. That's just something that God has asked us to do by faith to honor him. And
yeah, what day are the Big Macs free? Is that Thursday? When is that day free?
Yeah, right.
Free Big Mac day.
So, yeah, it's very, very, very important. And if you're asking these questions, my guess is that you're being convicted about it.
Yep.
Because you're curious about it. But yep. That, I would just encourage you.
God's not trying to get you broke. He's trying to bless you. And people will make fun of you and they'll judge you. And most people don't tithe. Matter of fact, only 2% of the church in America tithes. Only 2%. And that's why most churches are bankrupt and in trouble financially. But I may be on an alien planet, but Satan's not my God anymore. Jesus is my Lord. And he said, bring all the tithe. And tithing's in the New Testament as well. The old people, well, that's just Old Testament. No, it's not. Jesus taught about it. And so it's a New Testament thing. So I want to be blessed. Why do you tithe? So I get money. It's a very carnal thing. Why do you tithe? I need to be prosperous. I need my children to be prosperous. I need my grandchildren to be prosperous. I need my business to be prosperous. I need my ministry. I can't afford to not tithe. I'm on an alien planet, and tithing keeps the devil off of me. Now, he'll try to make a run. He tried to make a run at Jesus. Jesus never sinned. He'll still try to make a run at your money, but you've got to quote the word of God. Father, I'm a tither. The devourer is rebuked for my sake. I'm going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Say what God says. So,
all right, Joe, depression runs in our family, and I'm starting to notice it starts to have effects on my children as well. I don't want them to have a negative outlook on life at such a young age. How can I help them?
Well, number one, you got to watch what you say around them. It's pretty simple. You got to cut the negative talk. If your kids are depressed, it's because somebody's saying something depressing around them. You're either worried, scared, afraid, hiding. You got to clean up the language to start with. Then I get real spiritual. I mean, my kids, their whole life, I kept little prayer cloths that I would anoint with oil, usually Crisco or Wesson oil. That's all we had in the house. I'd anoint that cloth. Father, my children have the mind of Christ. There is no spirit of fear in them. They have power, love, and a sound mind. I'd pray with that cloth, and I'd stick that prayer cloth under the pillowcase. So every night they lay there in that pillow, there's a prayer cloth on there. I prayed over all my kids their whole life. Are they perfect? I don't have any perfect kids. There are no perfect kids. There's no perfect parents. But I got strong ones, opinionated, in church, pay their tithe. You know, if they mess up, they learn how to repent quick and forgive quick. There are no perfect people. There's getting back up people. So don't talk negative around them. Don't let them watch negative stuff on TV. Guard your heart with all diligence for how to be the issues of life. So watch what you feed on, what you watch, what you listen to, what you sing. You know, there's so many testimonies on our got a great book on it. You know, you go to our bookstore. It's like how to raise godly kids or good kids. You know, it's tons of scripture. Don't feed on stupid. Now, we had a big screen TV in our house. We watched great movies, but we didn't watch any movie that didn't end good. We don't listen to music about killing yourself and dying early and going drunk, getting drunk, and my wife running off. We don't listen to stupid. We don't sing stupid. Many times I could have been off the house. Hey, what do you listen to? What? Hey, let me see what you listen to. I said, I don't even understand the words. Can you print those words out for me? And I remember one time my daughter printed the words. I said, you want some of this? Would you like 4 bucket loads of this? Well, no. Then quit singing it. Don't sing to yourself. The Bible says, sing to yourself in the Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart the word. Don't sing stupid. That way you won't think stupid. So you learn how to put up guards and then start feeding on the right thing.
There are people that have a chemical imbalance.
Yes.
Also,
yes,
because you can be sick in your body, yes, as well as in your mind and things.
Get a physical once a year at least.
So I do think if you're seeing that tendency and it's not necessarily related to the
natural,
the influence, mm-hmm, of what's around them, that I would get that checked. But also there's another thing the Bible talks about, a spirit of heaviness. And it says the only way to get rid of a spirit of heaviness is through a garment of praise. So I would just turn off everything and just, man, we're going to praise you through to this. But I think you should check in the natural. The thing is if it is something in that is a chemical thing, then you know once it's diagnosed where to focus your faith.
Yep.
But if you don't know and you're just kind of shooting,
you shoot in every direction, you're not going to hit nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen, there's a friend of mine and they have a similar thing in their family line. And it has really tried very hard to defect one of their children.
Yeah, but
so the
devil, he cheats. He doesn't play fair.
He doesn't play fair because you're young. He doesn't play fair because you're innocent. Yeah. So it's
there are
just
no rules. Yeah. He goes by no rules.
But I would definitely address it. And honestly, and there's no, we used to feel like it was so shameful if you had to get counseling.
Oh, I know. I'm an idiot.
Or if you had to get some kind of help from a doctor. Doctors, our counselors are not our enemy.
They're gifted. They're anointed. They're gifts from God.
Right.
Jesus had a doctor on his staff. He had a physician on his staff.
So yeah,
whoa.
I would definitely look into that a little bit further. All right, Joe, our son is 16 years old and he constantly plays video games. He is still in high school and does well. I know he's still young, but I want him to start taking life more serious and start going towards a goal in life. How do I help him grow without pushing him away with too many restrictions on screen time? Well, since I had a son that was equally, and he's 30 now, and he still loves video games, and he married a wife that likes them too.
Like kind draws like kind.
Yeah, and so I mean, you said here that the son does well in school. I mean, does he have a social life? Is he involved in your church? You don't want to punish him for being a good kid if he's really a good kid, but I do think there needs to be balance on everything. I remember one time my son was probably 13 years old and I came into his room and he is sitting on the toilet and he has positioned the screen so that he can see it in the mirror.
that's intelligence.
And
that's just pure intelligence.
He has got the video game. And I said, how long?
Son, you're going somewhere.
How long have you been sitting there? Well, the thing is, it's true. I mean, you can seriously have a career in gaming these days and do stuff. So I don't know. It's a difficult one because I don't like all the stuff that's on the video games. I mean, some of them are very violent and I don't think that's healthy at all. But and some are very sexual. So I don't know, Joe, what would you say to that?
Well, not what you would say. We're totally
Joe
different.
Would say, take it out of their room. Don't leave it in their room. And that's probably a good thing.
We had six kids. They're all grown. But I gutted the room early. God designed the human body to sleep a third of its life. So you got a real nice bed, a dresser, closet. That's all you need. There's no TV. There's no cell phone. There's no radio allowed in any bedroom. I got a great home out in the country, got a huge big screen TV in the family room, got a computer outside in the kitchen. Do anything you want to do, but not in private. When you go to your bedroom, go to sleep. You get up, come downstairs, have a great breakfast, have a good day, have a wonderful day. If it's summertime, have fun. But you're not going to stay glued to that screen all day long because there are other people in the house that need that screen. So you can't hoard it to yourself. There's other humans in the house that's going to need that computer screen.
The challenge, though, Joe, is I think that you can push your kids to rebellion, too.
Sure can. You'll make them hate everything. That way they'll get out of your house and get 14 screens in their room and never leave the house.
Or come
they'll
visit
make a
you.
God out of it. Or they'll come visit you.
Right.
Where's your computer? Don't have one.
Well, I mean, it's like this, because my kids would, I would always have like chips and candy and stuff at home.
Yeah, you're good.
And if people come in and say, can he have candy? And I said, yeah, sure. He can have it. I don't care.
You're going to learn something here, people. Pay attention.
And so they had it. And you know what? Every year I'd have to throw away their Halloween candy. They would never go in there. And my friends that every day they would send their kids to school with Sprout sandwiches and stuff.
What's on that, broccoli?
And meanwhile, they'd all fight to sit by my kids who would have lots of candy and treats and theirs. And of course, my kids became very popular giving all of that away. And but the thing is what it did was it took the desire to have it away.
Yeah.
Because it was available to them
all the time.
Yeah. And to this day, they are not big candy eaters. Yep. And they eat pretty healthy. Yes,
they're very healthy, yeah.
And and the funny thing is that my friend that really did the Sprout sandwiches and was very healthy and never let her kids.
Whoa.
They love cheeseburgers and McDonald's.
Now. Yeah. And put some Snickers. I want a Milky Way on that thing.
Because they want what they can't have. Yeah. And so you have to determine, how do I take this desire away from them? And that was just one thing that absolutely worked for me. And I remember one day my friend, this is kind of just on a funny note, she got sick and she asked me to pick up her daughter for school. I said, okay. So I picked her up and I didn't have time to get breakfast. So I just gave her a bag of Cheetos. I didn't back out of that driveway. That kid had Cheetos from ear to ear. Happy as could be. Woo! I was like the most
Santa
popular
Claus mom. Picked me up today.
I can still remember seeing her like that. It was just tickled the fire out of me. But so you have to be careful because you don't want to punish a good kid.
No.
If he's in high school, he's old enough to talk to and just say, can we put some boundaries on this together? Because I just think it's a little excessive. And
well, it's not a sin thing. It's just the desire of the heart. Every human does what they want to do every day. What are you going to do today? What I want to do. Where are you going to go? Where I want to go. What are you going to listen to? What I want to listen to. What are you going to watch? What I want to watch. It's our sin nature. We want to do what feels good, tastes good, makes us hum good. Like we chase it. So you have to be taught. Well, not everything you like's good for you. Now I'm not going to eat a broccoli sandwich. I'm going to have a bologna sandwich every now and then with lots of mayo, but I can't eat that every day. You know, I can't eat candy every day or cake. And so you learn how to, you're trying to produce an adult that will make decisions on their own without having to be nursed the rest of their life. I'm like, I can't follow you around till you're 40 telling you what to do and not do. You're supposed to become an adult while you're at home. So you got to start handling some responsibility. Hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do every day, but, you know, 3 days ago, you haven't come out of your room. We're probably going to do something about that, you know?
Right, right. So it's either you make the boundaries on your own or I'll have to help you.
Yeah, I don't want to. Please try to make them yourself. But if you need some help, I'll help you.
Well, that concludes our this week. But yes. If you have a prayer request,
yes,
that you would like us to pray for,
yes,
or if you have a question, please just write us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Yes.
And we would be happy to pray for you and to get an agreement with you for your family. And
we do have faith for families. People have faith for different things. I remember I got a buddy of mine, got his doctorate at Baker University, and he was the head over the hospital. But he believes for healing all the time. You know, he'll pray for healing. So if I ever get sick, if I think I'm not feeling good, I call my doctor, who's got a real doctorate, who was over a hospital, but he knows how to pray for healing. Hey, can you get an agreement? I think I'm coming down with something. I need to get rid of this thing. Yeah, I get an agreement with it. He knows how to pray. Because he's in that field all the time. So don't ever hesitate to call somebody, get an agreement with you. Don't do it by yourself. Don't stand alone. There's no one person. There's always a multitude of people.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next Monday.
Bless you guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. And we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.